take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I'm joined by James Taranto, the editorial page editor of The Wall Street Journal for many years, and also my correspondent for many years in addition to that, when he was writing a column every day. And now I find a column he's written that is extremely helpful in summarizing what I've lived through these last years, which is the Supreme Court and the executive branch. James, a very good evening to you. This is wonderful to have it all in one place. And I thank you for this. We begin with your observation that Mr. Trump, who speaks unusually about justices and the courts, is not going in the wrong direction, that the chief executive, a strong chief executive, is accustomed to challenging the courts for his executive power. But you frame it much more elegantly about how the Constitution is arranged this way. Please explain, James. Thank you.
Well, thank you. First of all, let me just correct my title. I'm editorial features editor, not editorial page editor.
Thank you.
So I'm not the chief executive of the page, but the number two. So my argument is that Trump, while he is perhaps talking in ways that, as the Chief Justice said, are not appropriate about impeaching judges and so forth, the two men, Chief Justice Roberts and President Trump, actually have a lot of resonance in their approach to the balance of powers. Roberts said last week that it's inappropriate to talk about impeaching judges and the normal appellate review process should be left to handle these disputes. And a lot of the commentary focused on the first part of that statement and ignored the second part. Which I take to mean a commitment that the appellate courts and the Supreme Court will give President Trump and his administration a fair hearing on these legal disputes. But I go even beyond that and argue that many of President Trump's actions since he took office the second time around in January are meant to carry out decisions that Chief Justice Roberts has made over the past years in the interest of restoring the structural integrity of the U.S. government under the Constitution.
The executive power shall be vested. You quote that from the Constitution as especially important to executive, to Mr. Trump, who is Article 2, the chief, the leader, the chief of the country. But executive power shall be vested suggests there are limits to his authority. How do we know that, James?
Well, because the executive power is not the total power of the government. The executive power is essentially the power to give effect to the law. But the making of the law is done by Congress. Congress writes the law, and the courts, especially the Supreme Court, give the law its authoritative reading. So the president is obligated to follow the law as written by Congress and as interpreted by the courts. But another point that Chief Justice Roberts made in Trump versus U.S., the presidential immunity decision, is that the president is the only person in the government who alone represents a branch of government. The president has ultimate control over the executive branch. So the president is the most powerful single person in the government, but the power of the government is divided among the three branches.
It's best now to put this observation into specifics. And we come to a case that's dominated government for many years, many administrations, the Chevron versus NRDC case from the late 20th century, 1984, I understand. And you report that Chief Justice Roberts' court has not one but two decisions that are, let's say, critical of Chevron. Please explain, James.
Well, in the Chevron case, the Supreme Court in 1984 upheld a Reagan-era Environmental Protection Agency decision that eased an emissions regulation. But the specifics of the case aren't what's important. What's important was the court kind of stumbled its way into setting forth a new principle, which is that when Congress writes an ambiguous law, the executive agencies get to interpret it, get to decide what it means. And judges have to defer to any interpretation by an executive agency as long as it's reasonable. This was not a power grab. It was a power surrender by the Supreme Court to the executive branch. Now, fast forward 40 years, 2024, the Supreme Court overturns that decision in a case called Loper-Bright versus Raimondo. That means that the courts are now entitled to review any agency interpretations of statutes. The courts resume their proper role of saying what the law is. But what Trump did was he put out an executive order in February, which said that agencies are to go through and scrub all their regulations and mark for repeal or modification or non-enforcement, among other rules, any rules that do not reflect the best reading of the statute. So Trump, as the executive, is actually putting into effect this ruling by the Supreme Court. And this is, again, it's the opposite of a power grab, because what Congress is saying is the executive branch is to get rid of all of these regulations that Congress never authorized in the first place.
You quote Alexander Hamilton, the Federalist. I always pay attention when the Federalists show up, James. The Chief Justice observed, this is the Chief Justice quoting Alexander Hamilton, that the purpose of a vigorous and energetic executive is to ensure good government, for a feeble executive implies a feeble execution of the government. That would encourage Mr. Trump to be as assertive as he is. Is that how he's interpreting it?
Well, I think it depends on the ways in which he's asserting himself. If he asserts himself in a way that is contrary to the Constitution or to the law, then he should be held in check by the courts. My point is that a lot of what he's doing is consistent with the Constitution, and not only is consistent with the Constitution, but is putting into effect rulings that the Supreme Court has handed down that otherwise would have taken a long time to have any effect, because it would have required further litigation, further legislation, all of which moves very slowly. So what the president is doing with this executive order on regulation is he is he's giving effect to this rule that actually to this Supreme Court ruling and another one, West Virginia versus EPA, which has to do with what's called the major questions doctrine. But it's a similar principle. Congress has to authorize before the executive branch regulates. Trump is putting into effect that these rulings and saying the regulations have to be brought into line with what Congress has actually authorized.
Full stop here. We have to review the moment, because there's a suggestion that Mr. Trump is on the wrong side of the Supreme Court. And recently, Mr. Roberts has written that the word impeachment is inappropriate for a president to use about a justice. This has to do with a case having to do with migration. But what you're suggesting in your column is that Mr. Roberts has been supervising or leading a court that has for several years done exactly what Mr. Trump is recommending his job is all about. Do I say that? In other words, they're not at odds. They're in sympathy in many of the major decisions so far.
Yeah, and I would say that in a lot of these areas, including the regulation area, which I just discussed, the Supreme Court has actually taken the lead. The problem is that the Supreme Court can only point the way for other branches. Courts operate deliberately, and they are only authorized by the Constitution to hear cases or controversies, which means there has to be an actual dispute between parties for the court to decide it. So when the court makes a decision, like saying this is a new principle that applies to regulation, it doesn't have any immediate effect beyond that case. Trump is giving much broader effect to these very important decisions that the Supreme Court, often led by Chief Justice Roberts, has made over the past few years, quite a few of them during the Biden years, as a matter of fact.
Now, let's go to a case that I enjoy just because of the drama of it, linking Donald Trump to Franklin Delano Roosevelt. This is Humphrey's Executor versus U.S., 1935. It has to do with the authority of the executive to fire, to replace, to remove a member of a commission. In this case, it was the Federal Trade Commission, but there are other boards that are theoretically, or they appear to be external to the executive branch. The Humphrey established that the FDR could not do that. You present issues that suggest that the Roberts Court is saying maybe not so fast. Maybe he does have that authority.
Yes. So FDR attempted to remove a man named Humphrey from his position appointed by Herbert Hoover as a commissioner with a fixed term on the Federal Trade Commission. Humphrey was dead by the time the case came to the Supreme Court, which is why the case is called Humphrey's executor. But the court decided it anyway. And what the court said was that even though the FTC is formally in the executive branch, its functions are what they called quasi-legislative and quasi-judicial. And Congress meant for it to be a panel of experts. So therefore, the independence that that Congress granted this commission under the statute is constitutionally sound. Now, there was a case in 2022 called Sila Law, or excuse me, in 2020 called Sila Law. And Sila Law was about the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. This was the board that was created under President Obama by the Dodd-Frank Act of 2010. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau also has a director that is not removable by the president. And the court said that that's unconstitutional, but it limited its holding to single member commissions, of which CFPB was the only one. But the Sila Law case invites a challenge to Humphrey's executor. It contains language that seems to suggest Humphrey's executor is on weak ground. And President Trump has already set up that challenge by firing, among other people, a member of the National Labor Relations Board, a couple of members of the Equal Employment Opportunities Commission, and most recently members of the FTC. One of these cases will get to the Supreme Court in the next couple of years, and I expect the court will overturn Humphrey's executor.
You especially highlight the word expert, as in that it doesn't appear in the Constitution. How is the court interpreting expert, James?
Well, I don't think the court is interpreting the word expert at all in these cases. What the Humphrey's executor court did, and this was a unanimous decision written by a Republican appointee, Justice Sutherland, was it simply said this was meant to be a panel of experts. But as you say, the Constitution says nothing about being governed by experts. It says nothing about quasi-legislative or quasi-judicial functions. Legislators are supposed to be elected by the people, and judges are supposed to be put through the political appointment process and subject to impeachment and so on and so forth. So this was completely extra constitutional, but it originated in 1914 under the administration of Woodrow Wilson, who said that he didn't think the Constitution should be a straitjacket. He wasn't big on separation of powers or constitutional restraints.
One more that is a puzzle to me. The Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE. You mention it, and it also doesn't appear in the Constitution. Right now, it is a driver for the exiting of tens of thousands, I believe, according to the reporting from Washington, of federal employees. Is that something that the court has vouchsafed, or is that a decision ahead that an extra-constitutional body of, I guess, experts can advise the president to fire people otherwise who would be protected by other means?
Well, DOGE shouldn't have any problems structurally because it is part of the White House. So whatever authority it exercises is authority directly delegated by the president. And so it has authority only in as much as it's acting on the president's behalf. The president can fire Elon Musk or anyone else at DOGE tomorrow or order them to stop work or to change their work or whatever. So there's not a constitutional problem with DOGE. There may be legal issues with some of what DOGE is doing. There's an issue called impoundment, which is to what extent can the president refuse to spend money that Congress has already authorized. And that involves questions of constitutionality, of statutory interpretation, and so forth. So the activities of DOGE raise a lot of questions that are now being hashed out in court, some of which the Supreme Court will have to address at some point. But the structurally, it's sort of a fiction. It's just part of the executive office of the president. It is purely a tool of the president.
I'm speaking with James Taranto, the editorial features editor of the Wall Street Journal editorial page. We're discussing a column in which he addresses strong executive and strong courts. When we come back, two of my favorite examples, that would be college admissions and censorship.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hey there. Ritual here to give a big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. The magic of those family moments? That was you. And now there's new milestones to prep for in 2025. This new year, check clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list with Ritual. We've done the research to create science-backed pregnancy support like our prenatal multivitamin, natal choline, and fertility support, all designed to be taken alongside each other. But don't just take our word for it. They're also third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and Clean Label Project certified. So whether you're trying, thinking about trying, or already there, we don't have to tell you that prioritizing yourself can be the hardest part. That's why we're helping you get started today with 30% off a three-month supply for a limited time at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.